The following sermon is by Dan Thomas, pastor and teacher at Community Church in Edwardsburg, Michigan. If you've never visited us at Community Church, we invite you to join us at 28647 US 12 West in Edwardsburg. And now, here is Pastor Dan Thomas.
All right, we are, as I mentioned before, going to take a look at Psalm 51 today. Now, back when we started our series on Psalms, I think I gave a quote from a guy by the name of, Calvin. Yeah, John Calvin. He said the book of Psalms is like an anatomy of the soul. But in there, we get a lot of different looks at our soul or who we are on the inside, who we really are. David was incredibly transparent as he prayed and talked to God, so we get to get a good look inside ourselves. Now, we don't usually talk about that as far as being our soul. We talk about that as being our heart. I know it's a weird little illustration, but obviously when we think of I love you with all my heart or I have a broken heart or anything like that, we are not talking about the organs, so to speak. We're talking about who we are on the inside, okay, what we're all about. I've mentioned this before. I heard this from a preacher, so hopefully it's true. But somewhere there's a culture where they don't see the heart as the seat of the emotions. They see the stomach as the seat of the emotions. So you would not say, I love you with all my heart. You would say, I love you with all my stomach. Some of us are more capable of love than others. But, we could say that idea, very romantic. I love you with all my gut, like that, all my stomach. But, when we look at the Word of God, you know, a lot of times we like to, you know, get a picture, okay, the Word of God is like, and we'll say, okay, the Word of God is like a roadmap for life. Or the Word of God is like a owner's manual. God has written it. He designed us, so it helps us know how to function. Or we'll say the Word of God is a love letter from God, and I love that description of it. Hey, this is His love letter to me. All those are good, but all of those have, we'll say, part of the truth. We're describing an infinite God, His Word. We're not really capturing it in a perfect illustration. And I'm going to give an illustration of what the Word of God is like today that I realize is not perfect, but for our purposes today, I want you to think of it a little bit as a toolbox or a tool, and then you have a tool belt, and there's some parts of it that you want to keep handy all the time. Because to me, this psalm, Psalm 51, is something that I hope we can all be familiar with. If you're not, if you've never heard of it before, it is a psalm, probably the most famous of the psalms, that is a penitential psalm. It was written after David had committed the sin of adultery, and then he followed that up with another sin of murder. And then he was confronted by the prophet Nathan, and then he actually wrote this psalm, pouring out his heart to God, asking for forgiveness. And I think in my life, I like to have this psalm handy. I like to be familiar with this psalm. I like to go back to it. I like to read through it because there are many times in my life when I need a restoration again. I need a repentance, and I need a forgiveness of sin. So I hope you'll be, whatever you need to do to remember 51, okay? You got a favorite athlete who's 51, remember 51. If you're into science fiction, Area 51. Okay, whatever you need to remember. But hold on to Psalm 51 and kind of put that in your tool belt today as we go through. So we're going to begin, I believe, with the first seven verses and just talk about what this teaches as far as our heart is concerned. Are you ready? Okay, I gotta say, this is a terrible thing to start off saying. You look a little bit like you lost an hour's sleep last night. I'm just not feeling it right now. Got to get a little life here. Do something. Slap yourself. Something like that. Okay, are you ready? Well, it will be interesting to see if anybody stumbles in at the end of the service. What happened? You moved the service. Okay, so David begins. And again, he is confronted, he is well aware of his sin, and he says this, he says, have mercy on me, O God, because I'm really a pretty good guy, and I've tried my, no, he does not say that, does he? He goes straight to saying, hey, here's why I want mercy. I'm not going to trust in anything about me, but according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, would you do this? Would you blot out my transgressions? Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Do not miss the word thoroughly, okay? We're going to come back and talk about that. Wash me thoroughly. Wash me completely. Cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. It's like I can't get away from it. And against you and you only have I sinned. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about this, but if you think about that phrase, against you and you only have I sinned, well, our sin impacts other people, doesn't it? We cannot, sin in a vacuum. Somehow, when we sin, it is going to impact others, and we know that. But what David was so overwhelmed with the fact that that this sin was before God, that this was the thing that was separating him from God. This is the idea. You know, there are different places, in Scripture where, for example, Jesus said, "If you follow me, you have to hate your brother and sister," anything like that. Well, he wasn't really saying go hate your brother and sister. Some of you are like, "Hey, my favorite verse." But what he was saying was, hey, compared to your love for me, your love for them ought to be like hate. And it wasn't saying our sin doesn't impact anybody else, but boy, this is where I have to start. This is so heavy on my heart that, God, I'm not close to you because my sin is ever before you, before me, against you, and you only have I sinned. I've done this evil in your sight. And so that I might be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He realizes the depth of this sin nature, that in Adam all have sinned, and that he's born into that, and deep on the inside, that he is a sinner. Behold, God, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. God, would you purge me with hyssop? Come back to that word in a few minutes, too, that I shall be clean. Lord, would you wash me that I will be whiter than snow? The first thing we see in David's prayer here is that he begins with a broken heart, okay? His heart is heavy because of his sin. If we never realize that we're dirty, then we don't really need to be clean, do we? You think about a little kid, he's running around, he's covered in dirt, and you have to point out to him, you need a bath. Why? They can't see it. They don't realize that. Does anybody remember? I know I keep going old school on you here, but anybody remember? I'm assuming you can't do this today because it would be bullying. But when we were in school, we used to take somebody and tell them, we were giving them an IQ test and a dexterity test, and we put a quarter on a piece of paper, and you had to, can you trace it with a pencil? You remember that? You trace it with a pencil over and over again. Okay, you pass that part. Now, see if you can roll that quarter down your face. And then they take that quarter and they roll it down different. Does anybody remember that? Remember that? Okay, again, I don't think you can do that today. Don't do that. Bullying. Don't do it. Bad. But we did all the time. And the kid's sitting in class and he has these lines down his face from the lead on the pencil. And they have no idea that it's there, and then finally they show up in the mirror and like that. But it's if we never see ourselves as dirty, we're not going to worry about getting clean. You could put it like this. What the eye doesn't see, the heart doesn't grieve. Ooh, that's pretty good, isn't it? I didn't say it. I copied it from somebody else. But what the eye doesn't see, the heart doesn't grieve. And the truth is, a child of God should be miserable when doing wrong. David said, my sin is ever before me. This is a good sign. That he's not comfortable in his sin. And you think about it, it's only a child of God that's really going to care. Josh mentioned the wrap-up of Upward. Does it still smell like Chick-fil-A in here, by the way? Upward yesterday, there was 8,000 sandwiches. 1,300 sandwiches, right? 1,300 pieces of chicken in here yesterday. I didn't smell it when I walked in. So I guess it cleared out pretty good. Otherwise, everybody would be like, not only am I tired, I really could use a sandwich. But in Upward, it always cracks me up just to watch the little kids when they do something, noteworthy. Who do they look for right away? Parents and or grandparents, but somebody they have to see. And, as the ref sometimes, I think I'm going to be, a super nice man, and I go over there and I say, hey, Johnny, you really did a good job with that today. You could tell they could care less what I think. The man, I think he works at Finish Line. He has a striped shirt on. I don't care what this old guy has to say. All they want to hear is from their parents. They care. They're looking at their parents. They're seeing that. See, that is how we are as the children of God. Only the child of God is going to care about what their father thinks. Okay, and David is heartbroken. My sin is ever before me, and because he cares so much about his father, and hopefully we're seeing that. And honestly, even part of what we do when we come to worship should be a time of that. You know what, God, I'm not real comfortable even. I'm singing about your greatness, and I know that you're great, but there's something between us. and it's not there. So this is great to have this heart that actually is broken at this place in David's life. And you know, we want to have that same heart. So, you know, going back to the scripture I read earlier, David said, "Search me, O God. Search me. Know me." And here he says, "My sin is ever before me." Now, how is it that God is going to search us? I thought to just take a minute and think about these three things that God uses in our lives to show us where we're out of step with him, to show us our sin. Okay? Number one, he is going to use his word. The Bible says that the word is a light. It is a lamp. It's going to illuminate these things. The Bible also talks about as we look into his word, it's like looking in a mirror and seeing the truth. So number one, he is going to use his word in our lives. Now, here's a profound statement. If you're not then reading the word at all, this is not going to happen. You got it? One of the reasons why it is so important that we regularly be in the word of God, because it is going to show us where we are out of step with him, where we have done wrong, where we want to make it right. Secondly, he uses the spirit that he has put in our hearts to convict us. And again, a very, very good sign in our life of our relationship with him is when we are not comfortable doing wrong. If we get to the place where it doesn't faze us at all, that is a scary place. If somebody can live apart from God and they don't care at all, there's a problem, because God has put his spirit in our life and he's going to illuminate things in our life. Thirdly, God will use his children. Okay, so we pray, God, you're going to use your word, you're going to use your spirit, you're going to use your children in our life. Now, a big caution here, okay? I actually was listening to a preacher, and he said he asked his wife, he said that's the closest person to him, he said, "Could you show me, you know, a sin, or could you tell me a sin that you see in my life?" And she said, "Just one?" And that would probably be the reaction that we get a lot. You know, hey, we might have a few more that we want to share. This is something you have to be very careful about. But if you have somebody in your life that you can ask that question, this is a great thing to do. Because you tell me something like that. It is hard to see things when we're right on top of them. I wanted to use a quick pickleball illustration for this reason. Did you know that you can play pickleball in our gym? We haven't been able to much. Upward uses all the time. But there's a pickleball court and we have a pickleball net. I'm telling you that because if you're really into pickleball, if you see me, I could set up a time when you could play. Or you could play against Francis and I if you want. I did want to mention that with Upward over, the gym will be available more. But here's the illustration. In pickleball, it is very important. You're supposed to call. You make the calls, and you're supposed to be honest, and you trust the other person, okay? I have found it very difficult, like if I'm standing right here and the ball hits, to tell if it's in or out. You know, if I'm across the room, I could tell. But a lot of times, it depends on the score. I'm losing, it was out. I'm winning, I'll give them credit for it. But that's how I go with it. Because a lot of times, I can't tell if I'm standing right on top of it. You know, it hits, and I can't tell if it's in or out. A lot of times, if we're very close to something, it is very hard to tell. And we have a hard time. We have a difficulty often seeing the sin in our lives. So having somebody that can help us, good thing. Okay, but again, I want to say, be careful. And if you have that conversation with your spouse, I would say, could you tell me one thing and limit it to one, because you might be there a long time otherwise. But could you tell me one thing that you're seeing there? So God is going to show us these things, but then also he is going to be working to move. Oh, you know, I want to say one other thing about that. Sorry, I got back to my notes and I remembered. When it comes to listing your sin and the things God shows you, we want to be very specific about our sin in confessing to God. Hypocrites are great at a general confession. "Oh, yeah, I know I'm not perfect." Okay, that's a great hypocrite line. But when somebody gets specific about their sin, that's very healthy. Now, I want to give you a caution on that, too. In fact, for the small groups this week, one of the questions I asked you is to talk about that, but I suggested that in the small groups you be general about your sin. You know, unless God really tells you to be specific about it. But with, you know, just, I'm not going to stand up here and list every single sin that I have. And I did this this week, and I did this week, and everything like that. I think we need to be somewhat cautious with other people. And some people, you know, who their main sin is gossip, they can't wait to get out of that meeting and tell everybody about it. So you do want to be careful in that. But we do want to learn, especially in our relationship with God, to be as specific as we can. Now, what is the purpose of this confession? This broken heart is going to lead us then to having a clean heart. Okay? God's, is interested in us getting to a place of brokenness because he wants us close to him. Do you remember that word thoroughly? Wash me thoroughly. We have in Jesus Christ something that we could call an unbelievable forgiveness. And I call it that because we have a hard time realizing we're forgiven. I don't know why that is. That's actually another small group question this week. Hey, why is it that we have a hard time accepting that we're forgiven? You talk to people like that all the time. We use the terminology, well, I don't know if I can forgive myself for that. And we do. We have a hard time. We think of ourselves as still guilty. I don't know. I don't know if that is because we're not very good at forgiving, so we figure God's going to hold on to it too. I don't know if, you know, we're just used to human forgiveness. But think about what God says. He says he's going to clean you up thoroughly. And again, it is not based on you repenting the right way. It is not based on you saying the right thing. It is based on his steadfast love and his mercy. So we can trust in him completely to forgive us. In fact, if we go on there, remember he said, wash me with hyssop. Hyssop, you know, the sponge-like material. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but it was something that was used in the Passover. They would take the hyssop and put it in the blood, and that's what they would use to put the blood over the doorway. But we see that in a picture of God's atonement. It was used for scrubbing in a way, you know, to really clean something up. There are not too many products that live up to their reputation, but one of them that I think does, those little white magic eraser things. You know, I'm talking about every once in a while, y'all be trying to clean something. I'll pour all types of things on it. Nothing works. My wife will say, wait, I have something. And she runs out. She hides it from me because she knows I'll destroy it. But she'll let me use one every once in a while. And those, you know, they magically clean like that, but a deep down cleaning. Well, the psalmist says, wash me with hyssop. Scrub me up good here. Clean me. Remember the phrase the scripture uses for how God cleans us up? Whiter than snow. We might have a hard time picturing that because, you know, we see snow and it's got road dirt in it and maybe atmospheric dirt in it. But think about how pure and how clean and how perfectly white snow is. That's how clean we are. Can we grasp that? Okay, can we understand this is what God wants to do in our life? He wants to clean us up beyond what we can even imagine that he would. And I'll go back again and use that word unbelievable forgiveness because I think we all struggle to realize that indeed in Jesus Christ that price is paid completely, completely. There's nothing I can do to keep earning forgiveness. God's not holding me and say, yeah, but you messed up before. He says he's going to wash us thoroughly. David said, wash me thoroughly, clean me up completely. Man, how great that is. We were singing today, you know, just about you've forgiven me and now I walk in freedom. Wait, I wrote it down while they were singing it. It was incredible. And I don't know where it is on here, but it was good. But it's that idea, hey, you know, now there is that freedom that we have, that he's washed us completely. Let's read a little bit more in the psalm. He writes, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create, God, in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. By the way, that phrase there, of course, you know, we think about, well, I don't have to pray that today because God's Spirit's inside of me. You're right. I think sometimes we're a little hung up on the phraseology. You know, we might sing a song about inviting the Holy Spirit here, and you say, well, we don't need to sing that. He's already here. But hopefully we know what we're singing when we say that. We're asking him to, you know, move in our lives a special way. We want to respond to him in that way. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Go with me for just a second. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, do you remember the first time you got to know him? Isn't that awesome? Restore to me the joy of salvation, what I knew then. Uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation, my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips. My mouth will declare your praise. Now, a couple more ideas from what we just read there. God wants to give us, we'll say, a resilient heart. If you get nothing else through this, okay, I want you to have this psalm in your tool belt, okay, Psalm 51, a psalm of repentance. But I also want you, as we read through this, to understand the purpose of repentance. For the whole purpose of repentance is closeness to God. Okay, it brings us back close to him. Ephesians 5:17, Paul wrote that what God wants to do is present us clean and pure. Okay, God wants to bring us back to that place. So one of the things that we look for here is that joy will be restored. Dr., I'm not experiencing that right now, but when I experience your forgiveness, then I can know this. Josh mentioned, actually, I wasn't paying attention to our announcements. You mentioned the parenting thing coming up? Oh, we got a parenting thing coming up. We got to get that. Check the website for that. But parenting class, couldn't remember if that was in the announcements or not. But when we parented our children, when we were raising them, and some of the greatest times that we had were times of discipline. And what I mean by that is, I mean, we were very intentional about things, and we spanked our children. But I would say, Travis, go to your room. And Dad would be in a few minutes. And that was always to make sure that I prayed before I went in there, that I wasn't angry. You know, when I said spank my children, I mean I ran across the room and went, I'm going to whip you, or took my belt off or anything like that. But then I would go in, and we had a little spoon, and we'd do enough to sting them a little bit there and stuff like that. But I remember this all the time. I remember the response afterwards. You know, I told them, Travis, Daddy loves you, and Daddy wants to obey Jesus. That's why he's disciplining you. But Daddy loves you very much, and I don't want you to do this because I know this will hurt you doing this wrong. And it was almost always Travis. That's why I'm using his name. But I remember those times because I remember how sweet it was afterwards. I remember what it was like afterwards to give him a big hug and have him give me a big hug and have that relationship restored. Okay, the purpose of repentance is to bring us back to that place with our Heavenly Father, where, hey, this is sweeter than I could ever imagine. You know, I'm back with you again. That's the reason we want Psalm 51 in our belt here, in our tool belt, is because when I do wrong, my tendency is to try to hide my sin. My tendency is to try to pretend like, well, I'm going to beat this thing eventually. I won't do it again. And God says, no, here's what I'm giving you here. I'm giving you Psalm 51. Come to me, and I want to clean you up completely. I want to give you that joy back. I want to restore that in your life. So the brokenness that we talked about in the first thing of having a broken heart, that is part of the process. But the goal is always restoration. God's goal is always going to be restoration. When we talk about this resilient heart, we want to understand, too, that it is a replaced heart. It is not just a refurbished heart. Ezekiel 36:26 talks about the idea that God says, I will take away your heart of stone. I will give you a new heart, a living heart, a heart of flesh. I want to make something all new. A couple years back, some of you might remember there was a spell. We had always determined we were never going to buy a new car again. It wasn't a good purchase. We'll buy a slightly used car, get a good deal, and everything like that. But a couple years ago, you might remember used car prices went nuts. And it was actually a better deal to buy a new car, so we bought a new car. Have to admit, I don't know if I'll ever buy one again, but I have to admit it was kind of nice. There's 2 miles on this car. Riding it home, and you know, and this is brand new. I'm not getting to anybody else's problems or worried about anything. I had that brand new car. And, you know, I was driving home. God said, listen, only God can create, okay? Only God can create something new. That's who he is. That's his nature. So God says, I don't want to just refurbish this. I don't want to fix it up. I want to give you a brand new heart. I want to give you a brand new heart. Okay? He's going to create in me a new heart, is what the psalmist said. A third idea that came out of this was he talked about the bones which you have broken may rejoice. I want you to think about the fact that he's going to heal those broken bones. You may have heard this illustration before, but of shepherds that in order to protect the sheep would actually break their legs, okay, because they kept wandering off. In order to keep them close, they would actually break their legs. But here's another great part about that. The shepherd not only would break the leg to protect the sheep, but then because the sheep's leg was broken or the lamb's leg was broken, he'd have to carry that around. And it would form a closeness and a bond. Okay, don't miss that. That's what we're talking about here. God is going to, that place of brokenness, he is going to use to bring us closer to him. Okay, don't miss that. That's what he wants. That's what he desires in that. So the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Let's go on. And then it leads very clearly to a rejoicing heart. That's what I wrote down from the psalm before. Our chains are released, and now I can sing, is that idea. I will sing that I am free, I will proclaim. And that's the message of the psalmist here. And we've talked about this pattern in Scripture before in the Psalms. He often starts off with, hey, this is just where I am, God. And as he talks to God, you watch his heart change. And it ends up with, I want to praise you. And never will that be more true than in going through a psalm, a penitential psalm, a psalm of repentance. That at the end, here's what I want to do. Now I am going to tell others about you. Then will I teach others. I cannot shut my mouth. So we'll just remember this. God wants us at this point to have a big mouth. Okay, that we are forgiven in him. My tongue then will sing aloud. Your praise will be in my mouth. It's so crucial that we understand that this is such a natural thing. Okay, we can go through, okay, here's how you ought to share your faith with other people. Those things are practical and those things are good. But understand that us sharing about our love for Jesus Christ is actually throughout Scripture, when you look, it's a very natural thing. What I mean is somebody is responding to the goodness of God. And truth of the matter is the psalmist says, I'm not going to be able to keep my mouth shut about this. Okay. Once I experience this joy, I have to tell somebody else. Okay. And I mentioned this before, but and this is convicting to me. I remember still, you say, still really? Yeah, I still remember my teenage years. And I remember when I first came to know Christ. I remember that very clearly. And I remember I wanted to tell stinking everybody. Okay, I remember going into the study hall at my school and wanting to tell others about Jesus Christ. I remember wanting to share with family and everything like that about Jesus Christ. I'd been forgiven. I had to tell somebody. Sadly, the part that's convicting to me is sadly, a lot of times we just grow kind of ho-hum in things like that. So David says, Lord, would you restore that joy? Would you restore the joy of my salvation? You know, that once again, and folks, maybe it's because, you know, we've allowed sin just to kind of have its home in our life and we're good with it. And eventually we're going to stop doing that. We're going to grow out of that or something like that. Rather than using Psalm 51, again, I hate using that terminology. The Bible is not something for us to use, if you want to say it like that. But rather than having that as part of our Bible knowledge, and we go back to it and we say, God, I need forgiveness. My heart is broken. My sin is ever before you. I know that. This is driving a wedge between us. I'm not as close to you as I want to be. God, I need to get this out. And then there is a rejoicing. Now my heart will sing. Now my heart will rejoice. Let's look at the end of this psalm. For you will not, this is kind of interesting, for you will not delight in sacrifice or I would give it, okay? If you wanted me to go into the temple, sacrifice for sin, I would done it. That's not really what you want. You're not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Oh God, those you will not despise. But then, look what he says. Do good in Zion, in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem, okay, this impact upon other people. But then will you delight in the right sacrifices and burnt offerings, in whole burnt offerings, the bulls will be offered on your altar. Kind of weird, isn't it? At first he says, you don't delight in offerings or I would do it. And then he says, let's do some offerings. And I think as we look at that, God wants us to have a pure heart. And what I mean by that is the right motives. Sorry if you have an outline and you're looking at it. Pure does not start with the letter T. I realize that now. But we have a little mistake in there. But the pure heart, David said, forget the sacrifices, return to the sacrifices. It's kind of odd how he wraps it up there. Forget the sacrifices. That's not what's important. But make sure you're doing the sacrifices at the end. Let's do that now. But the whole idea that comes out of that is, yeah, and I mentioned this before, even in doing some things around here that might seem ritualistic or anything like that, they aren't the problem. The problem is when we do them just going through the motions and our heart's not in them. The what we're after here is the psalmist that says, hey, a broken spirit, a contrite heart, that's what you delight in. What you want is for me to be close to you. That's where it is. And if I am somehow, and folks, we see this all the time in our culture. Folks who do go to church, a lot of times they feel like, hey, I'm putting in my time there. That's what I'm doing. Almost like I'm racking up my brownie points over here, and then it doesn't matter what I do over here. And that's tragic. And the one thing I never want to do is think that somehow, okay, you got a notch in your belt or whatever like that because you came to church. God wants you, folks. He wants you close to him. Okay, he doesn't want you to like me or the church or anything like that. He wants to draw you close to him. And I want to keep coming back to that. I want to keep pounding that over and over again. As we look at 2024, and Pastor Josh did mention, I heard that announcement about the missions team meeting. We do have some missionaries that we support, but we want to really sharpen our focus as far as our missional focus, both here and around the world. We like to do a whole lot better at that. We're trying to figure out what we can do. But I hate, if you will, for us to get too focused on what we do and skip over what we are. Okay? In other words, I want us to lay the foundation of that relationship with him first of all, and out of that will flow what we do. Now listen, God uses the efforts of people whose hearts aren't right. God can use anything that he wants to. But David said what you really want as far as sacrifice goes is you want my heart. That's what you want more than anything. Some of you remember that in Scripture there's a story of two sisters being around Jesus, one named Martha and one named Mary. And some of you remember that Martha was the one that was busy about doing everything, okay? She was making sure there was food. She was making sure everything was taken care of. She was serving her full head off, going crazy serving. And her sister was just sitting, spending some time loving Jesus, okay? And Martha was like, I have to do everything. She's just sitting over there. And Jesus said this. He said, Mary, the one who's sitting here, has chosen what's better. And I think with this, we want to capture both those ideas. Yes, service, obviously. There's work to be done for the kingdom. We want to move forward doing that. But what does Jesus say is most important? So everything that I want to be doing with these psalms, and we're going to do one more psalm next week. We're going to do just a psalm of praise and worship. But everything that I want to be doing in these psalms is to help us see, to help us grow in our personal relationships with him. Because that's what the psalms are. These are just prayers. Somebody's praying to God. This is a catalog of somebody is walking through life and the real things they're feeling inside and them sharing with God and what God is doing in their lives. And that's where we want to get to. You want to see your church grow? Well, that'd be awesome if God decides to do that more. But here's the thing that we want more than anything. Honestly, I don't know how to say this. I want you to grow in your relationship with God. Bruce, I want you to keep, how old are you, Bruce? You're at least 60, but I want you to keep growing. Okay, I want you to keep growing in your relationship with God. I want you to learn what it's like to walk with God as you get older. I mean, that's just the passion that I have as we share this. Somebody, and I don't know who, I don't know if this is from Lost and Found or what, but when I walked in this morning, I had this plaque on my desk. I have no idea if it's supposed to be mine or the church's or who, but this plaque was here. But it says, come to worship and leave to serve. And I do want us more and more to leave to serve. I want us to become more missional moving forward. That's a goal I hear that we have. But I don't want us to miss that first part, a closeness and a walk and a knowing him better. Okay, we want to dive in to the Word of God and understand that why. Okay, I mean, think about this for a second. Why did Jesus die on the cross? He died for our sins. He died to restore that relationship. Okay, he's all about this, folks. He's all about you being close to him. This is what he wants, you know, more than anything. And if I could, you know, jump up and down and plead with you about anything, and I know I'm going to repeat myself, but this is always going to be such a passion of my life because I know so well, I'm talking about decades, what it is like to serve God faithfully without walking with God. Okay? That's my story for most of my life. And to find out what it is like more to walk with God and have my service flow out of that is so much better. So I plead with you over and over to get a hold of this. Whatever it is that God would have you to do. But my challenge today, I'm going to ask the folks leading worship to come on back up. If Jess and Rachel and Trent can rejoin us here, we're gonna close in a song. But my challenge to you is go back to that Psalm 139 at the end. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Would you show me? Is there something in my life that is standing between us? God, I want to get that out of here. God, I want this reality. And I want to say something. Okay, think about, you can in some ways compare your relationship to God with your relationship to other people. And so, and it's not always like that. It's not always, okay, after today, there will be some ups and downs. I say that because there's a lot of times in my life when I was in a church service, I say, okay, God, it's going to be different from this day forward. And it was for a couple days, and then I fell off the wagon, and then Satan says, you're never going to make it because you blew it again. Okay? And I just want to say, hey, no. Let's go again. This is job one. Okay, this is most important. Sacrifices? Yeah. Come together and offer your sacrifices. Come together and do these things. That's great. But job one, don't forget that. What God wants more than anything is our hearts, a broken and contrite heart. You got it? Okay. Are you still awake? Okay, all right, let's do this. I'll pray. Why don't you stand? I'll pray, and we'll worship him together again. Our Father, once again, I just want to stop and recognize my inability to speak to hearts and ask that your Holy Spirit would minister powerfully these truths. Lord, help us to fall in love more with your word, and may Psalm 51 become a regular part of our lives. God, I was thinking, you know, probably there's some folks here that are thinking, well, I didn't do what David did. I'm not that bad. We miss the point, Lord. We miss even where you said in the New Testament about, that we hate our brothers, and that's sinful as killing them, and we lust, and that's as sinful as the adultery. We want to minimize our sin, Lord. Can we get away from that, Lord? Would your Holy Spirit be so evident that he shows us in a way that we can't escape, that we're like David. It's ever before us. And God, we want to cast ourselves just on your mercy and your loving kindness. There's nothing we can do to earn it. Sorry, Lord, I realize I'm kind of preaching while I'm praying again. I don't mean to be doing that, Lord. I do want to just praise you and lift you up. For it's in your powerful name that we have our breath and get to be here today, Lord. And you are most definitely worthy of all our praise. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Dan Thomas of Community Church in Edwardsburg. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, edwardsburg.church. You may also contact the church via email, info@edwardsburg.church, or call us at 269-663-2648. Thank you for listening.